This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 25th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at the Republicans' reorganization on the national level by asking Illinois legislative leaders of the Republican Party about their analysis. We'll also have a forecast coming up, a nice forecast for the holiday weekend from meteorologist Ted Kieser. First, today's news. When Governor Rod Blagojevich signed a budget measure last week, it was thought there was enough money to keep all 11 of the state parks slated for closure open. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, most of the parks will still shut down.
Despite a more than $2 million infusion of cash taken from state funds supposed to be set aside for special purposes, seven state parks will still close at the end of the month. But four have been saved: Hennepin, Shanahan, Gebbard Woods, and Kickapoo. Stacy Solano, spokesman for the Department of Natural Resources, says the agency helped decide the park's fate based on their locations.
I mean, we just wanted to make sure that, you know, we tried to be fair as far as, you know, making sure that as many people as possible, you know, would still have access to state parks.
A spokesman for Blagojevich says other factors were trails going through the parks and recreational opportunities at Kickapoo. Governor Blagojevich says if legislators want more of his budget cuts restored, including keeping open nearly a dozen historic sites set to close, they'll have to sweep more money from dedicated accounts. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
As mentioned, Kickapoo State Park near Danville is one of a handful of state parks and historic sites to remain open. Seven of the 11 parks will close Sunday, including Weldon Springs near Clinton and Wolf Creek at Lake Shelbyville. The closures also mean the loss of dozens of jobs at the sites. Ask Me Union spokesman Anders Lindahl says that's frustrating when lawmakers this fall took specific action to reverse the governor's veto.
I think the statutory language is clear that these funds are for the sole purpose of preventing layoffs and preserving the parks, avoiding the closures, and that's what they should be used for.
11 state historic sites will close their doors, but State Historic Preservation Agency spokesman Dave Blanchett says Bryant Cottage in Bement is one of the exceptions. There, the community has offered to fill the role of contractual and seasonal help.
This is where the volunteers have stepped in, and the community has pledged that they will support the site in that manner, that they will provide the volunteer help to do some of those tasks, and that is why that site will remain open.
The David Davis Mansion in Bloomington will also remain open at least through February through the help of local fundraisers. Blanchett says he's looking forward to the spring legislative session when a change in Illinois' economic climate may allow some of the historic sites to reopen. 8 weeks after Carle Foundation Hospital laid off about 2% of its workforce, Urbana-based Carle Clinic has announced layoffs of its own. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The 21 full-time employees laid off at Carle Clinic amount to about 1% of its workforce, not counting its HMO subsidiary Health Alliance, which is not affected. The clinic says those losing their jobs are primarily management and support staff, and that, quote, hands-on patient care will not be affected. Carle Clinic officials are not giving interviews, but in a news release, Executive Vice President and Chief Administrative Officer Mike Bukoski says they're feeling the effects of a nationwide trend in the healthcare industry: less use of their services, more patients who can't pay bills, and longer delays in government reimbursement. Earlier this fall, Carle Foundation Hospital laid off 72 employees, citing similar economic reasons. The clinic and the hospital are legally separate entities, but their medical staffs overlap substantially. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
When the Champaign School District's Columbia Center closes next month, its middle and high school students with behavioral problems will be sent to another program that may not have room for them all. Assistant Superintendent Michael McFarland says the Regional Office of Education's READY program has a limited number of slots for Unit 4 students, and some middle school students may not get in. McFarland told the Unit 4 school board last night they're talking with READY officials about setting up additional classes for middle school kids expelled from their regular school.
However, the reality is that it is likely that we will have some middle school students that we'll have no placements for, and that will have to receive homebound services.
Homebound services are meant for students who can't come to class because of illness or injury. McFarland says that service might provide expelled students with as little as 1 hour of instruction every day. School board members, including Board Vice President Darlene Blank, made it clear they didn't like that option.
We need to come up with something and we need to come up with it in a very timely fashion.
McFarland says the district will work for a short-term solution with continued talks with all the parties involved, including the consent decree attorneys and plaintiffs who push for the closing of Columbia Center. McFarland says they're also working on a long-term replacement for Columbia to begin next fall. President Bush has granted pardons and commutations to 14 individuals, including a man from central Illinois. He's Richard Culpepper of Mahomet, who was convicted of making false statements to the federal government. Culpepper was sentenced in 1988 to 5 years probation, provided he paid a $1,000 fine and more than $4,000 restitution. The new round of White House pardons is President Bush's first since March. They come less than 2 months before he'll end his presidency. Officials at a Central Illinois junior high school are apologizing for making students kneel during a school assembly. In a letter to parents, leaders from Clinton Junior High School explained the assembly was held at the school last week to address swearing and yelling in the halls and disrespect to teachers. The letter says students were asked to be on their knees for a short time at the start of the end of the assembly. School officials say the time was no longer than an ordinary tornado drill. According to the letter sent home Friday, school officials say during any future disciplinary assemblies, a more appropriate method will be used. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The expected Republican Party soul-searching is beginning after the loss of several Senate and House seats in the national election and a slight loss in Springfield's legislature as well. Charlie Schlenker of Illinois Public Radio reports state GOP legislative leaders are joining in the analysis.
The largest losers in the last election were moderate Republicans, which could reinforce the conservative bent of the GOP. But political scientist Lane Crothers of Illinois State University says even ideologically pure party operatives want to win, so it may take a while, but the party will eventually move to the perceived center.
Sometimes it takes a cycle or two, quite frankly, of losing a lot before parties begin to have that broader resurrection.
Crothers says Democrats went through the same evolution in the late 1980s when Bill Clinton helped with the Democratic Leadership Council, but the conversation took a while. For the Illinois GOP, State Senator Bill Brady, a once and future candidate for governor, says the dialogue actually began after the 2006 election.
African Americans and Latinos make up about 95% of the minority population, and we did a horrible job of inviting them into our party.
Brady says he and others have been working on outreach over the last year to make inroads and reintroduce the GOP to minorities who may, in fact, share some traditional party beliefs like limited government. But Latinos broke hard for Democrats and Obama this election, partly because of the perception of a hardline anti-immigrant stance by the GOP on the national level. Senator Christine Redonio, the minority leader from Lamont, says that's unfair.
It's a wrap because, you know, I think a lot of groups have some of the immigrant groups and the younger voters do have a lot of the same concerns that we have. We are concerned about the economy. We're concerned about people getting good jobs. We're concerned that they have adequate preparation for those jobs.
Now, most expect a favorite son candidate like Barack Obama to do very well in his home state. And some analysts are downplaying the Illinois party's need to retrench by emphasizing that unique factor. But the margin of Obama's wins is particularly troubling for the Republican Party in areas that were traditionally party strengths. For instance, Obama won McLean County, only the fifth time a Democrat has carried the county since Republicans replaced Whigs in the 1850s. And one elections expert says Obama's advantages with young people, women, and minorities should be troubling to the Republican Party. Many of the younger voters who turned out for Obama had never voted before. And Illinois Wesleyan University political scientist Terry Renner says having once voted, the younger people are far more likely to stay voters than to retreat again to the sidelines.
And stuff we've never seen, even in the so-called generation gap years of 68 and 72. I've never seen anything where you have a presidential contest that above 30 is about even, and under 30 is 2-1 for one candidate.
And Obama won in what had been the GOP bastion of DuPage County, and won big by 11 points, even recently, an unthinkable margin. State Senator Redonio, who represents part of DuPage, says a couple changing demographics caused the rout, immigrants and young suburban people who do not have developed identities as Republicans or Democrats.
So I think, you know, in this new day and age, we really have to make sure that the candidates that we put forward can excite people. We can't just rely on the fact that we have people that will vote a party position as opposed to looking at individuals.
That means younger candidates who present well. GOP Senator Dan Rutherford of Pontiac thinks of new Congressman Aaron Schock of Peoria in that way. Fratricidal tendencies between social and fiscal conservatives, Rutherford says, must also stop.
We cannot let the social issues determine a good Republican from a bad Republican. And as we have seen some of the past of that, those of us that are in office today need to stand up and determine and say that there are good Republicans that maybe don't agree on all the issues and try to bring it back together in what the core fundamental principles are, and that's less government and less spending.
Another issue is ethics and corruption. The national Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal hurt the Illinois GOP just as it was beginning to live down the George Ryan implosion 7 years ago, preventing Republicans in this state from taking advantage of a dysfunctional Democratic Party whose governor has ethics issues of his own.
The Republican Party's paid the price. And you know what? Probably should have.
Republicans hope to make good government their calling card moving forward, but that won't be easy. Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon says in a state where Rod Blagojevich raised $1.9 million and 25% of that came from people to whom he's awarded contracts, it took a near mutiny in the Senate before an ethics bill could be called. Ryder says corruption is a brush that smears the GOP too.
I think Illinoisans are tainted by what they see as a corrupt government, and a government that has been tainted by corruption for years. So the change in attitude that, hey, you can trust us, we're going to do things differently, is not going to come overnight. It's not going to come in a year. It's probably going to take longer than that.
Ryder says the GOP will have to talk about ethics for a long time and keep introducing bills to change things to have a hope of making headway. Senator Christine Redonio also says the GOP should take to heart the apparent message from voters that they are interested in a change in tone and want to see people working together. Yet prospects either party in Illinois will consistently embrace bipartisanship are very cloudy. The popular vote went only 52% to Obama nationwide, and political scientist Terry Renner says the fundamental truth shown in the 2000 election of sharp differences in cultural and economic issues still pertains, even after Obama's win this year.
The fact that we have the so-called divided states of America is not changed.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Bad Thanksgiving holiday week forecast coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. There is a chance of scattered snow showers in northern and eastern Indiana today. Elsewhere, though, mostly sunny and highs from 37 in the north to 47 in far southern Illinois. It'll be breezy and a high of 40 in Champaign-Urbana with winds from the northwest at 12 to 24 miles an hour. For tonight, cloudy with scattered flurries in northern and east central Indiana. Elsewhere, clear to partly cloudy. Lows from 20 in far northwest Illinois to 30 in Chicago, 23 in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow, sunny across the two states, the highs ranging from 39 in far northern Indiana to 54 in southwest Illinois, 47 in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow under sunshine. Tomorrow night, clear and a low of 28. The Thanksgiving Day forecast, sunny and a high of 48 degrees. Intervals of clouds and sun on Friday and a high of 43. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.